Please join with me for a moment of prayer. Our beloved Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the day, each blessing and opportunity, and especially the blessings we experienced at Thy house. We pray, O Lord, that Thy Spirit might again be with us and bless us now as we've come to the preaching and hearing of Thy Word, that in it, as we've done in song and prayer, that we might worship Thee in spirit and in truth. That Thy servant may be blessed to preach Thy Word, that Thy people may hear and understand, and above all it may honor and glorify Thee, and then edify and strengthen Thy people. O Lord, I thank Thee for the church here, each member, each friend, and I pray that Thy richest blessings might be with her, that she may grow and prosper in every way that would seem good in Thy sight. And bless her when her dear pastor comes, bless them, that they might have many good seasons in Thy service together. Now, we are mindful of all the churches. Be with each of them. We bless, and especially bless those that, without pastors, with the pastor of Thy choosing. Bless, we pray, all who've asked an interest in prayer and all for whom we should pray. Forgive us of our sins, we humbly ask, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in His name. Amen. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I invite your attention to Psalm 71 and verse 8. Again, Psalm 71 and verse 8. And this verse of Scripture reads, this is a prayer of whomever wrote this particular psalm, and said, "Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise and with Thy honor all the day." Now, what I want to try to preach about is the first beginning, the first portion of the verse of Scripture, which reads, "Let my mouth be filled with Thy praise." Why would our mouths be filled with the praise of the Lord? Well, first of all, they would be filled with the praise of the Lord because of His blessings, because God has indeed blessed us. And then not only that, but when we know that our blessings come from the Lord, then our mouth can be filled with the praise of God. And when I thought about this, I thought about just a hypothetical situation. There's two farmers, one on one side of the road, one on the other side of the road. This one on this side of the road is one of God's children. He's been born of the Spirit of God. He loves the Lord. On the other side of the road, here is this farmer here that he doesn't love the Lord. He's not one of God's children. Therefore, he'll never be born of the Spirit of God, and he'll never have spiritual life. And so the one over here is one of God's children, born again and loves the Lord. When he gets a rain, then he rejoices in the fact. He praises the Lord with the fact that he got rain. The one over here might say, "I was lucky. I got a rain," or something like that. So there's no ability within him to praise the Lord. But someone who has received blessings from the Lord, regardless of what kind of blessings they may be, then he loves the Lord, and he's thankful for the blessings that God has given him, and whether silently or audibly, he praises the Lord for those things the Lord has done for us. And so our mouths would be filled with the praise of the Lord when we're blessed of the Lord, and when we know those blessings do indeed come from the Lord. All right? One blessing that causes us to praise the Lord is His felt presence. That is, when God blesses us to feel His Spirit in our midst, and we can feel that He's with us, then that's one of the blessings of the Lord. Our spirits, brothers and sisters, long for the presence of God. David wrote of that in Psalm 42 and verse 1. Again, it's Psalm 42 and verse 1. And David wrote these words by saying, he said, "As the hart," now that's a deer, by the way. I'm not sure if it's a male or female, but one or the other, but that's a deer. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." So then, in that passage of Scripture, David had a longing for the Lord. Just like as a deer that's out in the wilderness where there's not much water. He's gone a long time without any water. And so he longs to get to a place where he can get water and his body can be refreshed from the liquid nourishment. And so that, he has that kind of longing. And David said, listen, that's the same kind of longing that I have for the Lord. That is not just what He gives me, but I have a longing for the presence of God. And David longed for the Lord because God's nature was within him. And listen, brothers and sisters, we have God's nature within us, and that causes us to long for the Lord also. That longing is expressed, I believe, well in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. That is, again, the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. And it reads, "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now that expression, Abba, Father, is an expression that means Father, Father. That is, it is a desire that causes us, because we are the sons of God, and there is a desire within us that makes us call out to God. And we feel the need in our hearts to be close to God in the person of His Holy Spirit. As I thought about this expression, Abba, Father, I thought about something I read, something I heard a number of years ago, no telling how many years ago, but the fact that it says parents and children. Well, the children just love to have that quality time with their parents. And children do, of course, like to have that quality time with their parents. That is, when they're doing something with their parents. But, you know, they said that's not all they want. It's good for children to know that their parents are there. And that's the way I felt like when I was growing up, and I'm sure the great majority, if not all of you, felt the very same way. That you were just happy, you just felt better, you're more comfortable when your parents were there. And because we have that spirit within us, we cry out, Abba, Father. We know that God is indeed our Father. And because we know that God is our Father, the source of all our blessings, we cry out, Father, Father. We have a need of being close to God the Father. We need the blessings of the Lord. And that is that we are sustained in our everyday lives through His blessings. In one verse of Scripture, when I was trying to study, I didn't look it up, and I can't remember just exactly where it is, but it says this of the blessings that God gives us. He says, He daily loadeth us with benefits. That is, God gives us every day a load of benefits. We be like, I need this, or I want that, or whatever. I'm sure every one of us has said that one time in our lives or another. And yet, the Word of God says that God daily loads us with benefits. That is, He gives us every day all that we can take. Now, we don't notice some of them. How often do we thank God for the air that we breathe or other things we have? We take some things for granted, I'm afraid. But nevertheless, God gives us benefits. He daily gives us all we can carry. And thank the Lord for that. Now, again, the Lord blesses us with all we need. A beautiful verse of Scripture, James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of light, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That is, God gives good gifts, and God gives perfect gifts. Well, you know, since that verse of Scripture, what it says, you know the worst kind of gift God gives is a good gift. That's right. The worst kind of gift that God gives is a good gift, because He gives good gifts and perfect gifts. Well, as you might imagine, good and perfect are translated from different Greek words, but the term gift, when it says good gift and then perfect gift, both usages of the word gift are translated from a different word. We have good gifts, that is, the clothes we wear, and the automobiles we drive. And we have all kinds of good gifts that God has given us and blessings we experience every day. But then, you know, raise your hand. How many of you are still driving the first car you ever had? You see, it was a good thing, I suppose, but nevertheless, they wear out. Clothes wear out and whatever. So we don't do that. We have to get clothes from time to time and other things from time to time. But these are good gifts from the Lord. But then they're the perfect gifts of salvation by the grace of God. We'll never lose that. And thank the Lord for that. And so God gives us good gifts and God gives us perfect gifts. And with all the blessings that He gives us, we need to remember we need the Lord Himself. We need to experience His presence in our midst. Well, as I was studying this, one thing I thought about is that man is a social being. That's right. Man is a social being. We need to feel that we are not alone. I remember that years ago when I was in school, and more years as things go by, that the worst kind of punishment there was solitary confinement. A person being by himself for no telling how long, just by himself. But we need to feel that we are not alone. That need is blessed by the fellowship of the Lord's people. I enjoy being around the Lord's people. I enjoy being around, whether they're Primitive Baptists or not, being around people that love the Lord. You don't have to worry about what's coming out of their mouths and other things like that. I love being like that. And yet, it is more important to know that God is with us. Just like when we come to worship, then it's good. We enjoy, we look forward to being with the people of God. And yet, there's some, and it's good to be with them, but it's something special when God is with us and God blesses us to worship in spirit and in truth. Now, and listen, to feel the Lord's presence is the ultimate blessing we will ever have. Think about that. In heaven's pure world, to be made like Jesus. And everyone around us is like Jesus in every way. And so that is the ultimate blessing in life, in heaven's pure world. And yet, brothers and sisters, we can have a foretaste of that now as we live here in this world. And what a joy that is in our lives when we feel the presence of God in our midst. That is a great blessing. Now, think about what a blessing it is to feel the presence of God in our lives. Especially when you consider that we're unworthy of the least of God's mercies. And Jacob said that of himself in Genesis chapter 32 and verse 10. Well, listen, it's not that just Jacob was, but every human being on the face of this earth is unworthy of the very least of God's mercies because of sin in our lives. But thank the Lord, He is so good and He blesses us. And yet, in spite of the fact that we're unworthy of the least of His mercies, God gives us or blesses us with the greatest of blessings. And the greatest of blessings that God gives us is Himself. That is, the fellowship and communion of His Spirit. That's the greatest blessing we can ever experience as we live here in this world, to feel that God is with us. All right? That's a wonderful blessing that God gives us. Now, we need to remember that we must humble ourselves to feel the Lord's presence. To see this, turn with me, if your Bible, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. By the way, that's the last chapter in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. Now, notice what God said here through the prophet Isaiah. For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. All right, God said He would look to certain people. It doesn't matter if that person is male, female, young or old, one of God's children. To meet these qualifications, God will look to that person. That is, he's a poor and of a contrite spirit. That's another way of saying that here's a person that is humble before God. All right? And that trembleth at my word. You know, well, sometimes we need to tremble at the word of God. I remember one time in my life when I was thinking about the resurrection. And I was thinking about not just what heaven would be, but what an eternal hell would be. Now, I've heard and you've heard all kinds of things, I'm sure, from one source or another. But I'll tell you what it is among you. I don't know what the environment is like. I don't know whether it's burning sulfur or not. I know certain people look at certain scriptures and say that's what it is. And I'm not here to run anybody's belief down. But I tell you what, maybe what is more than anything else, and that is it is a condition void of any influence of God. Now think about that just for a moment. It is a condition void with no influence of God whatsoever. God has saved us from that by Jesus Christ, and we're just as good as in heaven's pure world. I'll say a little more about that in a minute, the Lord willing. But we're just as good as there. And we're saved from that. But listen, the first time I thought that's what I would get were it not for the grace of God, I believe I shuddered, if I'm not mistaken. Or to think about the fact that here's their teaching in the Word of God, and we know that God is a God of judgment, and He is a God of mercy and love and grace also. But He's a God of judgment. And sometimes that we may lose blessings of God. Or God may judge us because we don't keep the commandments that are found, or some of the commandments that are found in the Word of God. And so that should cause us to tremble, my brothers and sisters. But now notice the expression. To this man will I look. Now, the word look is translated from a Hebrew word which means to regard with pleasure. Now, let's go back to Jacob just a minute. Remember what he said and what he was and what we are? Unworthy of the very least of the mercies of God. And yet, when we humble ourselves before God, then God will look to us. And the word look is translated from a Hebrew word which means to regard with pleasure. God will regard with pleasure those that are contrite and tremble at His word. And then also we must walk in God's ways to feel His presence with us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14, in that verse of Scripture there are several blessings that the Apostle Paul prayed that the Corinthian church might experience. By the way, that's the last verse in 2 Corinthians, in the book of 2 Corinthians. And the last quality or the last blessing that the Apostle Paul prayed that the Corinthians might experience was the fellowship, the communion of the Holy Ghost. The communion of the Holy Ghost. Now, think about this. You have communion here. I've had communion at other places also, but nevertheless, when we have communion one with another, it's because we have some things that are common. And communion to me, every time I think of the word communion, I think of common. We can commune one with the other because we have things in common. The great doctrines of salvation by grace and other things that we have in common one with the other. But if we walk in God's ways, we have something in common with the Spirit of God. That is, the word communion, one of the definitions for it is partnership. That is, we walk in the ways of the Spirit of God. And when we walk in the ways of the Spirit of God, then we have the communion of the Holy Ghost. And so, listen, brothers and sisters, God has those blessings for us. Thank the Lord we can experience, feel the presence of God in our lives. All right? When we feel God's presence in our lives, we can appreciate His blessings better. We can appreciate the blessings of salvation by grace. I think about the passage of Scripture in Romans. Most of you probably know it by heart. Romans chapter 8 and verses 29 and 30. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, that's a beautiful expression of Scripture to me. That is, God started with a certain number of people that He foreknew. Now, I won't get into a negative about foreknowledge or what it's not, but I'll tell you again very briefly. Let me say before I try to tell you what it is. It's one of the biggest doctrines, I think, that's found in the Word of God. But what it means is that God foreloved us. That God foreloved us. That's what it means. That God foreloved us. Now, out of that great love of God came His election. and His predestination and His calling and His justification and His glorification. God started with a great number that He foreknew before the world began. And that same number He elected, by the way. But God started with that great number before the foundation of the world. And the same number He predestinated, the same number He called out of darkness into His marvelous light, the same number were justified by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and the same number will be glorified in heaven's pure world when Jesus comes at the time of the resurrection. Now, and so the same number, God foreknew a people, and that same number will ultimately be glorified in heaven's pure world. Now, notice the expression, them He also glorified. Well, you know that's ahead of us. It's not behind us, but God spoke of it as if it were had already happened. Well, God can do that. And the reason God can do that is because when God has decreed something is going to come to pass, it's just as good as done. It's like a done deal, even though it's not yet to be. But it's just as sure as anything can be. And thank the Lord for that. But listen, when God is with us, we can appreciate the blessings of salvation by grace so much better. We can appreciate the daily blessings the Lord gives us. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Now, and I'm going to read, I'm going to tell you which verses I'm going to read now, but I'll tell you quickly. But in chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, in verse 1, he says that we were once dead in trespasses and sins. And then verses 2 and 3, he gives the ugly picture of what we were like when we were dead in trespasses and sins. And then verse 4, but, I love that. Now, I'll tell you why I love it. It means that forget everything that just, at least in the near context, that was written before that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, have quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, right? And so he's talking about people who have been quickened, that is to say, they have been made alive in Christ Jesus. They were once dead in trespasses and sins, and they had an ugly walk, but they were no longer dead in trespasses and sins. That is, separated from God. They're no longer that because they have been quickened. They have been made alive in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, but God didn't leave us there. Now, here's what I want to get. I said the daily blessings of life. And then raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Alright? And so, first of all, God has raised us up. Even as we were dead in sins, God raised us up. I remember the verse of Scripture in the Old Testament Scripture says, He has brought me up out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a solid rock. And that God did that for us. All right, so God has raised us up. Well, that is, God didn't just leave us to fumble around in the darkness, not knowing which way to turn. But God raised us up. And then He blessed us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord. Listen, when you come here, or when God's people come together, and they're blessed to worship in spirit and in truth, listen, you have just sat in a heavenly place in Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, why would it be a heavenly place? Well, it is a heavenly place, or it would be a heavenly place, because God was there. God is everywhere. God is omnipresent. Now, don't ask me this, but I can just believe it by faith. But there's a difference in God being in a place and God manifesting His presence in that place among that people who are there. And so, when we're blessed to worship, we're blessed to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All right? When we do that, He reveals the riches of His grace and His kindness toward us. That is, and the Lord can bless us to see that over and over again. That is, those things that God has done for us, such as election and predestination. He blesses us to see it over and over again. And this is salvation by grace through faith. Now, I'm sure you've probably, some of you anyway, have probably heard, well, salvation is by grace, but it's through faith. Well, that's not in the Scriptures. That's right. That's not in the Scriptures. It doesn't say that. It says here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Alright? So it doesn't say we're saved by grace, but it's through faith. But we're saved by grace through faith. Alright? What is he talking about? It's important to look at the context and see what's under consideration. What does he mean when he says we're saved by grace? Well, the very fact that we've been raised up and blessed to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus the Lord. And God shows us the exceeding riches of His goodness. Listen, that's salvation. Or in verse 5 when He says, He quickened us or made us alive in Jesus Christ. That's salvation. But then, those of us who have been saved, those who have been quickened, then they're blessed to experience the blessings that are in the following verses. And that's salvation in our lives. God doesn't leave us in misery. God blesses us to experience the joy in our lives and knowing what He has done for us in saving us by His amazing grace. Alright? Now that's salvation by grace through faith. Alright? Well, what does it mean? Romans chapter 1 and verse 17 says, now let me turn over and make sure I get that right. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. For herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Right? The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. At the beginning of first Sunday in September, you're going to have a new pastor. Thank the Lord for that. And I pray the Lord will bless him and you together. I pray and I'll continue to pray that the Lord will bless you people together. Alright? Now, when he preaches the Word of God, he believes by faith that what he's preaching, or what he believes, and what he preaches, is the very truth of God. And when you hear that truth of God, you believe it by faith, and it's a blessing to your life. And I think that's a part, anyway, of what it means that when the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, and that's salvation by grace through faith. That is, by faith, you believe the great truths that are found in the Word of God, all the truth of God, and you find joy in that. And that's salvation by grace through faith. Now, it's not going to give us spiritual life, because those did already had it, as we see early in Ephesians chapter 2. It won't put us in heaven's pure world. But I tell you, it'll bless us as we live here in this world, the faith that God has given us. And we need to realize that all we have are blessings of God. And again, from James chapter 1, verse 17, the good gifts and the perfect gifts are all from the Lord. Even when we can appreciate the temporal blessings of God better with the felt presence of His Spirit. All right? Without the Lord's presence, we know God's truth is fact. That is, if you're sitting in the pew or someone's sitting in the pew somewhere and someone preaches election and predestination, and the person sitting in the pew knows that's the truth of God. But it doesn't feel the Spirit in his life, and he'll know, well, that's the fact. He knows that's the truth. He might say, well, we already know that. Why don't you preach something else? Not because he doesn't feel the Spirit in his life. Or practical truths of the Word of God. When one of the ministers of the gospel preaches the practical truths that are found in the Word of God. Well, I remember Elder Sheldon Michael said a number of years ago, I think it was at a minister's school, and he said, the most perfect, to some people, the most perfect sermon is the one that goes over my head and touches my neighbor. That is, you're not preaching to me, you're preaching to him. That's the idea there. And so they need to, when someone doesn't feel the Spirit of God in his life, he says, all right, that's truth. And those folks need to hear that. Here's a good one. Here's the practical teachings of the Word of God, and he doesn't like it, he says, well, he's done quit preaching and gone to meddling. And so, and that happens sometimes. But nevertheless, brothers and sisters, that's how we feel But with God's presence, we feel His truth in our hearts, and it blesses our lives. The great truth of salvation by the grace of God. When the Spirit of God is within us, or we feel the Spirit of God in our lives at that time, then that's a great joy to our hearts. And then when we hear the practical teaching of the Word of God, we're reminded, say, yes, I need to keep doing that. Or if there's something that I'm not doing, I need to be doing that. Or if something that I'm doing that I ought not to be doing, then I ought not to be doing that. That is, that's not for them, that's for me. And we need to hear those things. And with the Spirit of God, that those things are a blessing in our lives. All right? Praising the Lord, when I saw this verse of Scripture in Psalm 71, verse 8, one of the first thoughts I had was that praising the Lord fills our mouths with His goodness. Again, praising the Lord fills our mouths with His goodness. Just thinking about the blessings of the Lord causes us to rejoice. And it is food for our souls and fills us with no need of anything else. The idea there is, if our mouth is filled with the praise of God, then there's no room for anything else. Now, how do we fill our mouth with praise? All right? That's the subject under consideration. How do we fill our mouths with praise? Well, we can only do it with the blessings of the Lord. That is, He blesses us. Now, think about the text. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise. I think another way of expressing that would be, bless me that my mouth might be filled with thy praise. I don't think that's any kind of damage to that text whatsoever. And so, the only way that our mouths can be filled with the praise of God is that when God blesses us, to praise Him. And then we can only have our mouths full of praise when it comes to the heart. Now, I think about this. I thought about, I don't know if it was last year at Christmas or what it was, but in one of the Christmas movies, it was Gladys Knight. And she said, talking about someone about singing, about Christmas hymns, I guess it was, or spiritual songs. And we need to remember that we're not singing from here. We're singing from here. And we need to remember the one to whom we're singing. We're not singing to each other, but we're singing to the Lord. And so we need to remember that it must come from the heart. Jesus spoke about this in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6 and verse 45. Again, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 6 and verse 45. And it reads, "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man, out of the treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaketh." That is, the praise we have of the Lord is what's within our heart. That is to say, it's the very core of us. And that's where the praise comes from the heart, from the very core of us. And listen, brothers and sisters, we are to be filled. To do this, we are to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 reads, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." That's not something that automatically happens when we're born again. That's not something that happens just randomly every day. But rather, there's some things we can do to be filled with the Spirit of God. And if you go to verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5, it says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." That is, the idea there is that when we speak to one another, we speak about the goodness of God and those things that God has done for us. And then it refers to husbands and wives if they have a godly relationship one with the other. Then it speaks of parents and children, and if they have the kind of godly relationship with each other they ought to have. And then it speaks of the workplace, the bosses and workers in the workplace. And that is, do they have the kind of spiritual relationship they ought to have? That is, if we still, and listen, there's home, there's church, and there's work, and I don't know a whole lot of room for a lot else. Now, we do other things from time to time, but generally that takes care of just about everything. But listen, the idea there is, if we fill our lives with the ways of God, then what, that's one of the ways we can be filled with the Spirit of God. And I remember the late Elder Hoyt Sims speaking at a ministry school one time a number of years ago. He said, as I said just a moment ago, that that's a commandment from the Lord, that we're to be filled with the Spirit of God. But then he goes on to say this, listen, the only way that we can be filled with the Spirit of God is if we're empty of this fleshly nature. Now, we're not going to get rid of this fleshly nature, but we can crucify this fleshly nature, and we can put that fleshly nature we have behind us, and in that way we can be filled with the Spirit of God. All right? Now, and so we're going to be filled with the Spirit in order that our mouths may be full of praise. What does the Holy Spirit testify? In John chapter 15 and verse 26, Jesus was speaking to His disciples, His apostles, and He told them that several times about the coming of the Spirit of God. He called Him the Comforter. He called Him, gave Him other descriptions. But He says at the end of John 15 and verse 26, He shall testify of Me. And so, if we're filled with the Spirit of God as we ought to be, then we can testify, we can speak of the good things of Jesus. And that's one of the ways our mouths can be full of the praise of God. May the Lord bless us. And we may talk about material possessions, and that's all right, if we speak of them as blessings of God. You know, I don't have one. I say, I got this new car. Well, again, I don't. But what if I, you know, this difference in saying I got this new car instead of saying that, but the Lord blessed me to have a new car. That's different there. You see, it's not saying, hey, look, bragging about me, but I'm praising the Lord because the Lord blessed me to have that or whatever it may be. And so may the Lord bless us, brothers and sisters, that our mouths may be filled with His praise. And listen, it will be food for our souls. May the Lord bless us. It's my prayer for Christ's sake.